I want to turn to a passage in Matthew chapter 13. Here we read of seven parables that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. They're basically the same thing. And at the end of it, he said in verse 52, and Jesus said to them, therefore every scribe, you see, a scribe is a person who studies the law of God, the word of God, and every scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So here he speaks about the scribe having to become a disciple. And the meaning for us is that this academic knowledge, the knowledge of the Bible that we have in our head, which is like a scribe, reading, understanding, and even knowing it so well that we can preach and teach to others, you're still a scribe. A scribe could teach. A scribe could understand. A scribe would spend hours and hours of studying the Word of God. But he was not necessarily a disciple. And there is always a danger that we can face when we come to a church where there's so much of new teaching that is not even heard in other places. And we can have our heads and minds filled with so much information. And if we are intelligent, we understand all that so well that we can even teach it to others. And then we are scribes. But the disciple is the one who has practiced all that he has understood in his daily life. And the first area of discipleship is in our closest relationships. Not in the church relationship, but in our family relationships. Now the scribe may have a very poor family life, and he may not be very upright in his business, but he's a very good scribe. Excellent preacher. Great knowledge of the Word of God. He can explain every doctrine. And here Jesus said this, at the end of these parables, the scribe must become a disciple of the kingdom. So that's the thing we need to ask ourselves. Are we scribes of the new covenant or disciples of the kingdom? The scribe was not particularly concerned about the condition of his heart. He's only concerned about the impression he gives to others of one who is knowledgeable in God's word, and the impression he gives to others that I'm a good Christian. Whereas a disciple is not much bothered. He is concerned about his public testimony, sure, that it should not bring dishonor to Christ. But he's much more concerned about his heart. That's the main difference between a scribe and a disciple. The scribe knows the word of God, knows the teachings, but is more concerned about his testimony before others in the church. Whereas a disciple is primarily concerned about his testimony before God. And a disciple, as I said, is primarily in his relationships with his closest relations. I say that because if you turn to Luke 14 and verse 26, he spoke to a huge crowd. A lot of people in Israel who had heard Jesus, it says many times they were amazed at his teaching. And I'm sure many of them understood it so well and they could even preach it. But here it says he looked at this big crowd in Luke 14 and verse 25 and said to them, I mean, if I were to paraphrase his words, was, you guys have heard so much of me, but it's not enough just to listen to what I say and understand it. If you want to be my disciple, you have to hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and his own life. And in Matthew, that's explained as love me more than. That's the meaning of hate his own father. You have to love me more than father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children. So you see, discipleship begins in our closest family relationship first. He's not talking about the neighbors and people in the church primarily. Father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters at home. So it's in family relationships that discipleship begins. So there, you see, in our home, we don't try to impress people with our Bible knowledge. At least I hope not. Trying to impress people with Bible knowledge is mostly outside our home, with other people, or in a church or something like that. In the home, we are ourselves. More than any other place in the world, we are completely ourselves in our home. And there, Jesus said, you must be a disciple. That means you love me in your home more than anybody in that home. Your life is determined by your love for me in your home. Whether you're living with your father and mother, or your wife and your children, or your brothers and sisters. Your life must be determined by your love for me as supreme. And so the disciple is not so much interested in understanding doctrine as much as in living the life. When Paul was writing to Timothy, I want you to turn with 1 Timothy in chapter 4. Timothy was by this time maybe about, he was I think about 20 years younger than Paul. So he must have been about 40 years old at this time when Paul wrote to him, 40 to 45 years old. And he'd walked with God, I mean he'd been with Paul for 20 years. And he was one of his finest co-workers. And to this man, Paul has to give this exhortation. Verse 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Take pains with these things that I am writing. Be absorbed in them so that your spiritual progress will become evident to others. And then he says there are two things you must pay close attention to. Pay close attention first of all to your life and then to your teaching. Because he was a teacher, he had to pay attention to his teaching. But he says, even if you're a teacher, you must first pay attention to your life. Pay attention to your life and then to your teaching. That's always the order in the New Testament. That's one of the fundamental things about the New Covenant. Life first and then teaching. You see the same thing in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 and verse 1. The Acts of the Apostles was written by Luke. He's the only non-Jewish writer in the Bible. All the other 64 books of the Bible were written by the Jewish people, Israelites, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Luke was the only one who was a Greek. And he wrote two books, the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. And he wrote them to a man called Theophilus. We don't know who he was. And he refers to the Gospel of Luke in Acts 1 verse 1. He says, the first account that I composed, O Theophilus, that's in Luke's Gospel, he writes to Theophilus also. He says, that account, the Gospel of Luke, which we call the Gospel of Luke, if I were to put a heading for that, if you asked Luke, give a title for the Gospel of Luke, he would say, here it is in verse 1, all that Jesus began to do and teach. That is Luke's title for his gospel. all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Again, you see, life first and then teaching. Jesus set an example. He did and then he taught. He never spoke about anything which he had not done. And that's a principle we must have in our life. We must never speak to others about something we haven't done. Because that is how the Pharisees were. Jesus told them, you speak so many things, but you don't do them. So I switched from a follower of Jesus to a follower of the Pharisees very quickly. If I begin to speak about things I've never done in my life. And that's a very important decision. And we must be concerned if that happens ever in our life, where we are testifying to things which are not true in our life, or speak about things which are not true in our life. Many parents try to impose a standard on their children which they themselves don't follow. They are hypocrites. Very often their children go astray. I know in my own life, many years after I was converted, I came to a point in my life where I discovered, 16 years after I was converted, that I was preaching a lot of things which are not true in my life. It was true. Scripturally, it was true. There was no false teaching. But it wasn't real in my heart. It wasn't real in my home life. It wasn't real in my personal life. But I was preaching it. And in my personal life, if I failed, of course, I would repent and ask the Lord to forgive me. But I was preaching it, and people got the impression that that was true in my life. I was not first like Jesus, doing and then teaching. I was teaching and not doing. Then I was a scribe, and I never realized I was a scribe. But I got so fed up of that life. So nearly 50 years ago, I got so fed up of it, and I said, Lord, I don't want to continue like this. This is not Christianity. And I tell you, I'm so thankful that I got so fed up that I began to seek God in prayer and fasting and weeping and crying out and saying, Lord, I want you to meet with me. I feel I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's what I need. Not some new teaching, but a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit that completely reorients my life, where my life becomes more important for me than what I speak, and that I will never speak about what I do not do. And I tell you, God answered my prayer about 45 years ago, and it changed the complete 46 years ago nearly, and changed the direction of my life completely. And it's 6 months after that that we started the first CFC church, and I'm very happy that we began CFC with life more important than teaching.